is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, Masters of None. My name is Mike. With me, Art.
You.
And on the line with us, we have director Paul Lazarus, who is the director of a great documentary that is on Netflix currently. It's called Slingshot. Paul, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I wanted to first get this out of the way and let you know that I am a huge fan of this documentary. Huge fan. I'm a big fan of your work, sir. So I want to make sure I get that out of the way. This is one of the most inspiring documentaries that I've seen in a very long time. Incredible. And everybody should see it.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, let me go in for people that haven't seen this documentary. This is a documentary that's really kind of like a biopic on a gentleman by the name of Dean Kamen. If you don't know Dean's name, you should. And I think that's part of the message that you throw out there in this documentary, that as an engineer and as a inventor and a man of science, Dean Kamen is one of those names that really should be on the tip of everybody's tongues. He should really be a superhero, an athlete, that kind of reverence for a pop culture figure, a guy who is basically trying to solve the world's water dilemma when it comes to clean water for all, eliminating 50% of the world's health problems due to the fact that these people can't get clean water. It's really quite amazing. And I really would like to ask you first off, what drew you to Dean? What drew you to the project and made you decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a documentary on this.
Well, I've been lucky in that I've known the inventor Dean Kamen for a very long time, actually over 30 years. And he has, for some reason, asked me to do many short films about his projects, and most specifically about what became called the Segway, but at the time he asked me to shoot, it was called Ginger, as in Ginger Rogers, and Fred Astaire was his, he used to call his iBot Fred Upstairs because it was a wheelchair that went upstairs, and so he nicknamed it Fred Upstairs, and then the device that grew out of that iBot, which later got to be known as the Segway, was called Ginger, so it's Fred Upstairs and Ginger. Back and shooting those things, and also predominantly for his first robotics idea, which is getting kids excited about science and technology through a robotics competition. And I must have made 10 short little documentaries about that organization to try to help spread the word about it. And the last one we did was with actor Morgan Freeman, and it was quite strong. So I knew him, and then in about 2006, he talked to me about water and told me that he was working on a device that could clean any form of contaminated water. And luckily, I had the notion that that might be the biggest thing he's ever going to do with his incredible innovative skills. And I asked him if we could turn a camera on to tell a much longer story about what it means to go from an idea in Dean Kamen's head to reality, which is obviously a big, long journey. And he said yes, and I don't think either one of us knew to what extent it would take to tell that story, and especially how many years. But that's what the movie became.
Nice. Like I said, it felt like part biopic, part documentary about kind of the process about how he's innovating and creating this invention. But at the same time, you really reflect on the man himself. You know, you can obviously see that you've had a relationship with this guy. It's incredible to think that a guy like this, who I first came to know him from an interview he did on the Colbert Report. That was the first time I actually got a chance to, and you show that interview prominently in the doc. But it's incredible to me that a guy like this hasn't made the amount of waves in pop culture that he should. What do you credit that to? What do you credit the fact that he's not a household name?
Well, I think Dean is a very private person and very concerned with inventing things that help people and devotes all his time to that. And he's very suspicious of publicity and promotion and anything that smacks of that idea. he doesn't seek it. And I think that if you're not seeking it, or you don't hire a publicist and you don't manage that kind of messaging in your life, you're likely to maybe not be as well known. But bottom line, and I think this would be Dean's answer maybe, is that the culture, particularly in the West, particularly in America, has valued for such a long time sports figures, musicians, movie stars, put such an emphasis on those areas of life that scientists, inventors, people who actually make something that helps you, you know, people who deal with kidney dialysis and all sorts of healthcare-related stuff, don't tend to be the names we know. We don't even know inventors. You know, there are a few names we have. We all know Bill Gates and a few others. But if you were to ask anybody to name five living powerful scientists, I think most people, it would be hard put to come up with five names. The culture just doesn't seem to want to reflect back at the world those people. That, you know, we're much more likely to know LeBron James than we are Dean Kamen. And I think that's not a good thing. And I think one of the reasons that I made this movie and focused on the man to the extent that you're talking about was because I think the world lacks this kind of hero, and I very much was hoping that you'd come away thinking that Dean Kamen is heroic and a hero and the role model. I think I'd like my child to grow up to be Dean Kamen quicker than I'd like them to grow up to be LeBron James. Nothing against LeBron James or Brad Pitt, but I think that Dean Kamen's doing a lot more for the world.
Yeah, just kind of going with that too. I saw a couple of interviews when you were kind of making the circuit for when Slingshot came out, and you know, you kind of talk about just people in sports, or I mean, I think everybody knows a Kardashian than they would the scientists. If you like, can you name all the five Kardashians or how many ever there were? They're like, yeah, sure, I can name them all. But then for the scientists, they don't. I think with our culture, one of the things that obviously Slingshot is trying to show is that the water purification, trying to help out the world. Everyone's talking about global warming, and it's just because now it's like the glaciers are melting and all those other things. And I think we're a society that, we'll worry about that one issue later. We'll worry about that other issue later. And we in America, we really don't have to worry about clean drinking water. You see the stuff happening in Flint, Michigan. People are all up in arms like, how can this happen? But people are dealing with this constantly. And I think sometimes in our world, especially with smartphones and, you know, everyone's got, you know, a 15-second attention span where it's like, wait, something's going on across the world where people can't even have like an 8-ounce glass of clean water. Oh, really? And then, guess what's happening? LeBron James just tweeted. I'm just using that because we're talking about LeBron James as an example. He's tweeting out a new sneaker that he's, you know, promoting. Oh, look at that. Isn't that flashy? And so we kind of get away from that. Going back with your relationship with Dean, and it's because some of the interviews I saw, and like you said earlier in this interview where he doesn't really trust, you know, PR companies or his own, like he doesn't want to make people know of him because he's always busy. What I kind of took away from one of your interviews is he used the vacation as the V word, where he's always constantly trying to improve something or trying to make something he made before better. And I just thought that was remarkable.
Yeah, I think that he's very concerned about his use of time. And if you're someone who has his capacities, you know, time is a big deal, because I really think he's obsessed with getting stuff done and as quickly as he can in his time on the planet. So, and it's really remarkable that someone like that exists. You know, he just doesn't go lie on a beach. He thinks that that's time away from important stuff. So he doesn't really go food shopping, you know, forget vacation. It's a matter of how many minutes a day you can devote to, you know, if you could give people clean water and you could give people a new way to do kidney dialysis and you could give people a new way to disabled people, a new way to have mobility and dignity, you know, buying that ripe avocado starts to look a little, you know what I mean? I think he weighs everything against a higher calling. And
yeah,
I think that's why he's so inspiring.
Didn't you say like he went to like a grocery store like twice?
Yeah. I have a whole interview with him about food stores and how overwhelming they are to him, the colors and the sounds and the smells. It's like, wow, this is like whole different thing. Just not used to that kind of normal activity.
Something that I love about having a podcast and something I love about being able to interview people like yourself is I get really into documentaries. I devour them. I absolutely love them. And something that I'm always left with on all of these documentaries is questions. I always have questions at the end of, well, what's happening now? This documentary was made 3 years ago. What's happening now? can you give us a little status update as to the progress of Dean Kamen's distribution of the slingshot and what maybe roadblocks he's facing today?
Yeah, the sad truth of technological advance is it moves much more slowly than I would like. We finished shooting at the end of 2013. We premiered the film in 2014. It's really over. It's almost 2 years ago. It's really 2 years ago since it premiered at Cinequest in San Jose, almost exactly 2 years, March of 2014. And what I can tell you is that the machine, which in the movie you see an alpha level machine, their prototype went to Ghana. They were never really supposed to say they were prototypes, but an alpha version of the machine went to Paraguay and Mexico. And while these trials were being conducted, they quickly advanced to the beta level of the machine, which is more mass-producible, more self-contained, cheaper. The goal is to get the machines down to a cost of like a refrigerator, like $3,000 to $5,000 per machine. And when you realize that each machine can provide the needs of about 100 people, roughly, that's a miraculous price. That's, you know, pennies a day to get people one of the most essential things on the planet, clean water. They partnered with DECA Research, which is Dean's company, partnered with Coca-Cola. There was an announcement made in the Clinton Global Initiative that Coca-Cola was going to distribute these machines widely, and that's really not happened. And that disappoints me, and it frustrates me, and I would encourage everyone to write to Coca-Cola and write to Muchar Kent, the CEO of Coca-Cola, for them to keep going and get moving on this very, very worthwhile and important endeavor. But, you know, everybody's moving forward. Technology, you want to snap your fingers and make it happen, and you want it to be everywhere. And I get calls on a daily basis from Maui and Flint, Michigan, and all the other places whose infrastructure is crumbling. And, you know, we live in a country where there's some water pipes that are made out of wood. They're so old. Flint is just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to see incredible challenges with water shortly. And so I guess the response is it's moving, but moving at a great glacier pace and too slowly. And it's really important. And I think you said before, we only move when we hit crisis. Well, we're kind of right at the brink of crisis with water. And it's terribly important that we adopt Slingshot and every other solution that's out there as soon as possible. You know, I love the model of Singapore, which if you know or you don't know, is a city where they're recycling all of their gray water and putting it right back into their tap. So shower water, toilet water, washing machine, every drop of water they use goes into the system, gets cleaned up and back and recycled. Well, most of our major cities in America, we haven't even come close to an idea like that. We just take the water and dump it back into the ocean and then wonder where water is going to come from. We've got to get on board all of these choices. It's not just Slingshot, but unfortunately, I would say that Slingshot's moving too slowly for my taste.
Yeah, and I guarantee it's probably moving too slowly for Dean's pace as well, because he seems to be that type of guy that wants results now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like to speak for him, but I'm sure he's frustrated beyond anything. You know, I mean, he put 15 years into this box and this technology really before I got heavily involved with the movie.
Can I ask you, I don't know if you know this at all, you know, and I don't want to, if you can't answer it, it's okay. Is he kind of handcuffed with Coca-Cola? Does he have to use them as a distributor? Or is
no,
if they're
no, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, Dean is a very clever guy. I would never use the term handcuff. I think he's exploring all options. You know, one of the most interesting aspects of when you make a documentary, most people make stories that have already occurred. They're reporting to the world on something that's already happened. In this case, the documentary is telling a story as it's happening, and it's certainly not finished. And so it's a different vantage point. And I would say the one thing, or many things that I've learned, is one, how many different solutions we need for water; two, how strong a solution Slingshot is, but how far it often takes technology to get from A to B. I'll give you an example. We're all familiar with the cell phone story. We have the logical outcome of the cell phone story in our pockets. You know, whether it's an iPhone or a Samsung, doesn't matter. We're all carrying this incredible powerful device that connects us to the world, connects us to the internet, connects us to each other, and in fact, many people would say over-connects us. But,
yep.
But we're all carrying the outcome. Well, Slingshot's not this iPhone. Slingshot's like the brick in the 80s. You know,
Zach Morris phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that huge, clunky thing that people think is a joke. That's where Slingshot is now. I mean, Slingshot's going to be powered by solar power and biomass ultimately. This long answer was leading to one thought, which was, I thought I was making a story about a machine that would go to the developing world, solve a lot of people's problems in remote rural villages in Africa and Asia, and then the West would adopt the machine and put it in its kitchens. Like, we're quickly coming to a place where tap water won't be trustworthy,
right?
And we'll want a Slingshot in our own kitchens to make sure that our kids are drinking clean water, you know, really clean water. That's what I thought the story was that I was making a movie about for 8 years. And the truth of it is now I don't know. The story may turn around and become the opposite, which is we may be moving the machine to Flint, Michigan, and all the places that need clean water and develop it to the point where we can basically bring it to the developing world much cheaper. So it may go back to the more normal technological story like the cell phone, where the cell phone got developed enough to become cheap enough to basically give it to India and Africa.
Right.
And the reason why there's millions and millions and millions of cell phones on those continents is because it's basically a conveyance for minutes. You know, I mean, the charge is not the hardware. The charge is the software and the minutes. So everybody's got a cell phone. Well, I didn't think that was going to be the case with Slingshot, but I may be wrong.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, it's incredible because, you know, you talk about another documentary that I'm fond of is Ray Kurzweil's Transcendent Man, and he talks about the law of accelerating returns. In that technology, as it advances forward, these great comes to fruition where, you know, they'll happen a lot faster as we go. So, you know, progress that we make in 50 years will actually take only 25, and then less and less. It would seem that something like this would follow that law, where, you know, it just seems like a no-brainer. It just seems like something that's like, yes, absolutely, Robin Flint. Like, as soon as that Flint story pops on the radar, you know, Dean Kamen should be the first one at the mic saying, I got it. Don't worry. Everybody back up. But it's at this snail's pace to come up with a solution. And it's just really frustrating to a normal outside individual like myself who, you know, has no dog in the fight, but is just frustrated with the world around him. And, I'm very surprised.
Sadly, it's even more complicated than we think, because Flint is one thing, but when you get into geopolitical forces that are around the world, and you start to realize that the very places that should most run to adopt an idea like Slingshot can be the most geopolitically difficult for the device to be adopted, and that's extraordinarily frustrating. And but it's the way of the world. The world doesn't move quickly to change or to novelty or to newness. The world tends to move very slowly to adopt even the things that are best for it. And sad state that we live in, but it's the truth. And I think Slingshot's caught up in that. I can make a whole nother movie about this, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's incredible to me. Can I ask you to put your conspiracy theorist tinfoil hat on for a second?
Sure.
Do you feel that there's any kind of pushback from maybe an unseen enemy that is trying to subdue some kind of, you know, technology like this that may make things like, you know, if you, just for example, if you ever want to have a laugh, go on Wikipedia and read about a water-fueled cell for a car, and just read about the mysterious deaths that surround the inventors of different things and sicknesses and patents and, you know, and arrests and stuff like that. Do you feel that there's some kind of, do you see any kind of like outside force that may be trying to subdue this because it's a threat to them and maybe a lot of money?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I would put it a slightly different way. I think that, frankly, the world in general is against adopting change. It's not. I don't think it's like Edison and the Lumiere brothers and, you know, film camera. I don't think it's as clear as that. I don't know if you know that story, but it's, you know, there was competition for creating the first moving image camera, and there were brothers, the Lumieres, in France were developing it, and Edison had found out about it, and there was all this competition, and, you know, many people think that there was some really, really bad stuff that went down, and including even murder. But I'm not sure that's what it is about water. It's just that we have approached water traditionally for the last couple hundred years from the top down. People understand big, huge municipal plants treating water and then shipping it, you know, sending it out via pipes to other people. That's a concept that people have grown very comfortable with, you know, all the way up to the World Bank and the Millennium Goals of Africa. All were tied up in these large, grand-scale solutions. This one is a, you know, I think Dean would call it a bottoms-up solution. It's a box. You can take the box to a village. You can put a hose into dirty water and goes to the machine and comes out clean. This is revolutionary in terms of water. This is like the cell phone to communication. This slingshot is to water. You know, it's not about digging high-voltage lines to connect us phone calls. It's basically on-the-spot communication, on-the-spot water creation. So it's revolutionary, and sure, are the people who are quickly running to privatize water not too thrilled about a notion like this? I would say probably not. But are the people who, you know, churning out plastic bottles filled with water that's supposedly clean in love with an idea like this? Probably not. I don't think they're targeting, though, Slingshot and other ideas to fail. I don't think they're doing anything. I don't think they have to. The world is much more ready for the big deal solution, the putting a big amount of money. Look at Dean's journey. He went everywhere, and nobody would fund Slingshot until basically he'd finished it on his own, tried it out with the help of the Coca-Cola company, and then suddenly Bill Gates was sniffing around. People who turned it down 10 years ago are now interested because it's now demonstrable. I had a similar experience with the movie. Couldn't get anybody to help me until I'd finished it. And by the way, I'm glad that you like the fact that it's a combination of biopic and technology story, because that was very much my ambition. And in the beginning, I encountered endless feedback that was never going to work. and it's really ironic to me that the very thing that I think makes the movie powerful and inspiring is what everybody said would never work.
Yeah.
So I think that applies to technology. I think that we unfortunately live in a world where we have to get to, I think Las Vegas is going to wake up the moment the Lake Mead goes down far enough that the Hoover Dam shuts down. You know, then Las Vegas will pay attention.
Yeah.
And we're paying attention to Flint, Michigan, because there was some serious bad stuff that went down there that got viral and went on the internet. But, you know, the same story is happening in Maui.
I'm in New Jersey. It's happening here in the Newark school system. It's happening in half their schools are contaminated.
Even in something that's connected to you, Paul, and Dean, and also me, being, you know, I know you guys went to college in New Hampshire. I grew up in New Hampshire. I saw someone on Facebook. I live in North Carolina now, but someone in New Hampshire on Facebook said, like, check this out, everybody who's living in New Hampshire. There's, you know, some places where there's some cancerous results from some water tests. Just check this out. And for me, I saw them like, wait a minute, New Hampshire, live free or die? There's like, you know, it's not, you know, from Jersey. I used to live in New Jersey as well, where it's like, oh, Trenton, Newark, everything's all industrial there. And how's it the Garden State? It's called the Garden State for a reason, if people explored things outside of New Jersey. But you said, yeah, it's happening everywhere, but people aren't being aware of it because it's not trending on social media.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just sitting here thinking about your question, you know, and I don't think you have to go to conspiracy theory. I think the problem is us. I think we're the problem. You know, it's not like some evil empire is working against the slingshot. We're the evil empire. I mean, we're the people who need to wait till it's crisis time before we do anything. We're the people who don't elect long-range thinking politicians. You know, I think we're the problem. We're the problem. And until we wake up to the fact that long-range thinking is essential, we're the conspiracy. And we've got to think forward and think long-range. I got a 9-year-old daughter, and I think a lot about what her world would be like 25 years from now.
Yep.
If nobody's thinking about that now, she's just going to have the crappiest climate and crappiest water. And, you know, we have to do something about it now, and not only in crisis. So you know, and I have this one really optimistic thought, I guess. Water is not a luxury. Water is an essential.
Yeah.
And I made this movie about water because it isn't, you know, whether you have clothing. It's you can't live without it. And so what I've noticed is whenever these companies, and some of them are really greed motivated and terrible, whenever these companies try to buy up water and sell it to people for too high a rate, you know, at a profit, the people rise up and say, no, you know, that's you're talking about a necessity for my child. I'm willing to die to make sure that my child has water.
Yeah.
I think when people are willing to die, it's a really tough thing to get them to go along with, you know, a profit motive.
Well said.
So yeah. My hope is that there's going to be too much reality about water and air that you know, people will rise up. At least I hope so. I mean, that's the one optimistic thought I have.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul, we appreciate you taking the time. People go to slingshotdoc.com. Also go on Twitter at slingshotdoc as well. Check out the documentary if you haven't.
It's on Netflix. It's phenomenal. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's on Netflix in 15 languages, so it's really all over the world.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We appreciate you taking the time and continued success with everything you're doing, and keep on fighting the good fight, and also tell Dean that, you know, we're fans of his work, and just keep on plugging away, man.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, man. You take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures. So much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name. I'll tell you that right now.
Papa too many.
Someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.